Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally and fill my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me,
all of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Now a life of peacefulness
deep within my heart abides. Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
And I remember the day.
I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again, this is Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way again and try to take up a thought from the Word of God. Sincerely appreciate all who tuned in. Appreciate as you tune in if you pray. Pray that as this work goes forward, that indeed it would be such that it would truly be helpful to all who that might tune in, might consider the things that are being addressed, not because that we address them, but because the things that are being addressed, they come from the Word of God. We believe that those things which are found therein, that they're the things that are truly helpful. And we'd hope and pray that you would help in this work by sincerely asking the Lord to bless it and use it in such a way that it would truly be helpful to all. We do have some thoughts on our heart, as we'd said, and these thoughts that we're trying to address, they address a specific subject, one which we mentioned previously as we came this way, and that subject is that of the kingdom. And as we take up the subject of the kingdom, we've invited all who that might consider these points to consider them for yourself and ask the Lord that might see the truth in it, might be helped to find the truth. And I believe we should be persuaded, yeah, we should be firmly convinced that God wants us to know the truth. The Scripture tells us God would have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If we believe God, and we all should, we should understand then that an honest, sincere consideration of what says the Word of God, that God would be truly there to help us and guide us and want us to understand it. So study prayerfully. Consider the things that are presented, not because we present them, but because what we're presenting comes from God's Word. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. And after we pray, we'll try to take up a thought for just a moment of time. So where you can then like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your great many blessings that you so richly extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. Ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins and many shortcomings. Help us, Lord, to leave off the things that we ought to leave off, and help us, Lord, to be careful to do the things that we should do. Guide us in the steps of righteousness, that therein we might be pleasing to you. And knowing, Father, when we're pleasing to you, that we'll be helpful to those whom we come in contact with. We pray, Father, that you'd remember the many sad and needy circumstances. Remember those who are not well. Remember those who are struggling with loss of loved ones. Pray for their comfort in their time of loss. Pray, Father, you'd help us. We'd walk close to God, knowing that God is love. Help us to walk close to God, then, that, Father, that we might have the things to share that would truly be comforting to those whom we encounter. We pray, Father, mainly for the lost, knowing those who know you not nor the free pardon of sin, they truly are in the worst condition of all. And we pray, Father, that there's something might be said or done, yea, even in this occasion, even as this goes forth at this time, that something might be said or done that would help those who are lost to see their need and see the great gift of salvation in Christ Jesus, and be drawn thereunto and humble themselves unto it. We pray, Father, for those who've been born again, that there'd be leadership and guidance from the Spirit of God, directing the steps of the born again into the house of the living God. Yea, Lord, let the house of God, ye the pillar and the ground of the truth, be awakened from complacency and from spiritual coldness, and be such, Father, that those who are born again, that they'd be drawn thereunto. And we pray for this country, that you truly bless it and help it to have leaders who'd be careful to do the things you'd have them to do. Help us to know how to support them as we ought, to be such, Father, that are sincere and dedicated followers of Christ in such a support. We know we fail to ask many things, Father, but fail not to grant. For we do seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, there are some thoughts that we want to try to address, and we'll take up some points from Luke and in chapter 17. And as we consider Luke chapter 17, we'll be turning over into verses 20 and 21. And in verses 20 and 21 of this portion of God's Word, we find some thoughts that we had tried to address earlier or previously. And in verses 20 and 21, the Scripture speaking of Christ helps us to see that the kingdom has indeed already been established, been set up, and is in existence even now. So Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, "And when he, speaking of Christ, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." With the mistakes we may have made, this gives us two verses of Scripture from Luke chapter 17, being the 20th and the 21st verse. We think about how that previously we tried to address Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And in Mark and in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the Lord had made a comment. He'd made a statement which had great significance to those men and women who lived in that day, and I hope it still holds the same significance for us today. Because there it's recorded that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord addresses, there is time that has expired. It is fulfilled. For something to be fulfilled, it's complete. It's at hand, is what he was preaching. Now these that we read about in Luke 17, they had demanded of the Lord. They demanded about the kingdom. And they were demanding when it should come. But he'd already been preaching that the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. They were looking for something other than what it was that was taking place right there, right around them. I think about another occasion, similar, in Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, we think of verse 11. It says, "As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They had in their mind that the kingdom of God was just about to appear, that they were expecting something different than what it was that God was working right there among them. And should it seem an amazing thing that men and women should expect God to do a certain thing, but for God to do something unexpected? That is, we think oftentimes that God, that He's not paying attention to us, or that God's hand is not involved in what's going on in this world. But then all too often, there are things and circumstances that unfold and take place right around us, and we know down in our hearts that the only reason things could have come to be the way that they are, the way they did, is because God was there. Just so it is here. They were looking for the kingdom, and these were demanding of Christ when it should come, and it was right there around them all along. So what did Christ say? He says to these demanding Pharisees, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." See, what was thought of, and I'm afraid that there's a thought today, in our days, in this very time which we live now, I'm afraid these very similar thoughts are just abundant among professing Christians. You see, they expected the kingdom of God would come with observation. They expected that it was just about to appear, and the Lord said, that's not the way it's going to come. These people were expecting God to send the Emmanuel into the world, to send His King into the world with pomp and circumstance. And I'm afraid today that there is a conviction that a great palace has to be built, or a great temple has to be built, and only until that it is built and put in place will God send back Christ to reign in that place. But Christ said the kingdom doesn't come with observation. That's what He was telling these Jews who demanded of Him when it should appear. And what did He say to them? He said it doesn't come with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. They're not going to say, well, look, the kingdom is in this location. It's over here or it's over there. He says, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, these demanding Pharisees were not a people who were born again. They were demanding something of Christ. They were not followers of Christ. They were not believers on Christ. They were questioners. They were doubters. They were demanders of Christ. And now, what they say is, when is it going to come? When is it going to come? And Christ says to them, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, of a child of God, it is properly said that for them to be a child of God, the Spirit of Christ bears witness with our spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. There is an internal connection. There is an internal relationship. The Scripture says, and if the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in you, you're none of His. If His Spirit does not dwell within us, then we are none of His. Check that out in Romans chapter 8 and see if that's not what that says there. Starting about verse 10 and read down to about verse 15 and see if that's not explained. The Scripture tells us that if Christ is not in us, if His witness is not in us, we don't have life within us. That's over in 1 John and in chapter 5. So, for it to say that children of God have Christ within them is proper. But the Lord was speaking to a group of unbelieving, demanding Pharisees, and He said to them, the kingdom of God is within you, that it was standing right there. And think about a crowd that has so many men and so many women standing in the crowd. And it could be said that the women are standing within the men. And what we would say, a word we'd use rather than the word within is we would say among, to say the women are standing among the men. And this is what Christ was saying to these people, that the kingdom, it don't come with observation, it's standing right there among you, it's within you. And so, the kingdom had to be in existence, it had to be present right there for Christ to say that to these unbelieving Pharisees. There's another example in John chapter 18, when that the man Pilate, as he was questioning Christ, he's questioning Christ about whether or not He was a king. And I noticed some of the conversation between Pilate and Christ. when we read in John chapter 18, specifically verses 35 and 36. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." I notice the Lord gives the origin of the kingdom when he says it's not of this world. Just like these others who had questioned, demanded, when is the kingdom going to be, when is it going to come? When's it going to appear? Well, we notice that the Lord says to Pilate, it's not of this world. This is a fulfillment, an explanation of how that Christ, being fully God, entered into this world through the Immaculate Conception, and the Virgin conceived and gave birth to the very Son of God. The Scripture says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That this one, who was fully God, who was, as the Scripture says there in John chapter 1, that he was eternal, that he was before the world was. The world was made by him, and there was nothing that was made that was not made with him. In other words, Christ's existence is pre all of creation, and creation came through him because he indeed is fully God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this one, Christ, when he came into this world, he came from heaven, entered into this world as King. And as he entered into this world as the Emmanuel, and he received a kingdom to himself. He came and he set this up, and as he was establishing it, he said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." And this being a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2, that tells us in verse 44 that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. Who is the God of heaven? It is Christ. Christ being the only begotten of the Father, being fully God, yet fully man, came into this world, set up his own kingdom, so that this kingdom can't be said that it's from the world. It's not from hence, as Christ was telling Pilate, but it is from heaven, because Christ came from heaven and he set it up during his personal ministry. I think about how this is explained to us more clearly over in Luke chapter 19. Now, Luke chapter 19 helps us to see this more clearly when we read out of verse 11, and we already mentioned verse 11, but we'll back up and get it again and read down through a few verses of Scripture. Here it says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he is nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." We just want to stop there and think just a minute. Christ is that nobleman, being fully God, went into the far country, came into this earth. And as this Scripture says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And Christ, having received his kingdom, he through his death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended back, and in ascending back, returned to heaven, to that country from which he came. So, he is the certain nobleman which went into the far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, I notice that during his ministry of receiving the kingdom and establishing it before he returned back to heaven, I notice verses 13 and 14, 15 gives us an example, gives us some descriptions of what that he did. It says he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." See, those who serve Christ even now understand he's coming back. We're serving until he comes back. But this next time he comes back, he's not to come back. He will not come back as a babe in a manger. He's going to come back as the conqueror. As the conqueror, the Scripture says, "And the last enemy that shall be destroyed shall be death." So we look. So he said, "Occupy till I come." Now notice there were some described in verse 14. It says, "But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him, to whom he had given the money, that he should know how much every man had gained by trading." I noticed that there, he also summoned these who that said they would not have him reign over them, because in verse 27, he says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Here is something we must all realize, radio friend, that we can reject Christ. Anybody can reject Christ. You can reject him now, but you can't avoid him forever. We can ignore that the kingdom is set up, but it won't make it go away. We can say Christ is not king, but that doesn't unthrone him. He's coming back, and there will be a time of answering, and we'll all give our answer. Christ says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." He not only says that to me, he says it to you as well. I think about these scriptures and continue on. And I notice how that the scripture tells us over in such places as Matthew in chapter 16. Now Matthew chapter 16, actually we'll go on to chapter 13. And the scripture here helps us to understand another detail about the kingdom. When we read in Matthew chapter 13, his disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." I notice that the Lord says that these who that had questioned him, because it says plainly that his disciples came and asked him these questions. And now, to his disciples, you have individuals who are different from those who have not became disciples of Christ. These disciples, when they questioned the Lord said, "To you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom." To you it is given. Those who have been born again can receive, can understand. But he says to these who that have not received, that is, they've not been born again, it's not given to them to understand that. He makes it even more plain that this that I'm saying in verse 15 of this, the 13th chapter of Matthew, when he said, "This people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now the Lord's saying that except we be healed of him, except we be converted, except there be an experience of conversion, except we come to the Lord and he heal us, except we have that experience, that relationship between us and God, except it be formed through that instantaneous conversion experience where the Spirit of God washes us with the washing of regeneration down within, when that the soul, the inward man, is born again. And except that occur, except that healing of the soul itself occur, these things which address the kingdom will remain mysteries. There's something more important for all of us than seeing the kingdom. Yes, we should all want to be what God would have for us to be and serve him in his kingdom. That is, we should want to be born again and want to serve him in his kingdom. But simple trying to study and understand the kingdom, to try to make sure you've got a mental conception of the kingdom before that you become interested in conversion, will not help you, because there is no clear seeing, clear understanding of this spiritual essence of what God is trying to help us to understand about the kingdom before that we're born again. You could quote every verse in the Bible. There are a lot of smart people who that understand and can hold lots of information in their mind. In that sense, the words of the Bible could be held perhaps in a mind, but it doesn't mean the understanding of it would accompany the holding of the words themselves. There is an understanding that must come only, and it does come only, from God. And that comes in conversion. And these mysteries, these things regarding the kingdom, will remain mysteries until that conversion experience occurs. This time has quickly come and gone. We've tried to address some points regarding the kingdom, and we've asked you to consider them prayerfully. And we hope indeed that you will take that opportunity to do so, and pray God would richly bless you as you do so. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, and we pray to be able to come back this way again, that God would richly bless you and yours. Pray for us. We'll be careful to pray for you as well. May God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.